I'm always trying to push the boundaries of creativity.
Something that's so unique and different, and that's what Regan creates in his projects. And this is a whole house of that kind of stuff. It's just amazing.
If you have a dream, you don't stop until you get it done.
Hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
Kevin, this is one of these shows that I've been waiting for a long time. Good friend of mine, Regan Foster, who has a company called Foster Design, is one cool cat when it comes to blending wood and metal and construction and thinking outside the box. And I think he'll be able to definitely shed some light of that in his process of building a house out of 9 shipping containers.
Well, and before this project, all I was familiar with was the fact that he built this incredible staircase in our showroom and this unbelievably unique tabletop and everything that's, you know, encased in a steel frame and so forth. But in recognizing that you were working on this project with him in terms of a container house, it was just always fascinating to me to think of that. And I've seen a snapshot here, a snapshot there, but I'm really looking forward to hearing the whole story behind it.
Yeah, and I am as well, because as the window supplier, I've been really in the trenches taking part of that category of, you know, like we always say, be really good at a few things. And we have definitely owned that window category and been a partner with him on this project when it comes to the windows and doors. But I can't wait to hear all the other stuff, and hopefully our listeners can take something away of thinking outside the box by building a house out of shipping containers. And also, the big passion for me of doing this is to give back to someone like Regan that has, like you mentioned, the stairs in the showroom. When I was basically building out this showroom and scratching and clawing to get this thing going, I was like, I knew I needed to have an upper balcony, and thank God we did that for showroom, and now it has more offices and all this stuff. But I was like, I didn't just want the cheapest, just throw a set of stairs up there and be done. I wanted it to be a statement of the showroom, and I knew Regan was the guy, and him and Andrew Gosovich worked their tails off on putting these stairs together that truly makes this a destination, and it's something about just feeling good when you're walking up those stairs.
Yeah, and people comment about the stairs, which you kind of take for granted in your daily life. You go upstairs because they're real functional, and everybody's always asking, who built this? Where did this come from?
Yeah, so now my chance is to give back, and we're going to talk about that, of their journey and hear their story, and hopefully they shed some good light on about an adoption plan that we'll talk through with them, and then we'll dive out of Studio MVWD on their conversation. We'll circle back.
Well, and that's the cool thing, is we're going to have the input from his wife, Libby, to hear all the details about the project as well, which is great.
Yeah, and they wore a lot of hats. I mean, this is their private home, but he was the general contractor that pulled all the valves while having Libby behind him to support him and make this all work. So let's dive in and have a chat with Regan and Libby Foster. But first, as always, in my day job, I'm Devin Tilley, the president owner of Mountain View Window and Door that makes this show possible. And
I'm Kevin Keith, the chief relationship officer and sales consultant with Mountain View Window and Door.
So thanks for Mountain View and Passion and the team behind that. All right, here we go with Regan and Libby Foster. What's your favorite beverage?
Beer.
Beer.
Yes, IPA.
So we're going to have some IPAs at the shipping container house we're going to talk about later, right?
Sounds great.
What's your favorite place you've traveled?
I would have to say Patagonia.
Tell us about that.
It's actually where my wife and I got married. I went down there for 4 months study abroad. And then my wife met me down there. We got married and we backpacked through Patagonia for about 5 months in the mountains for a good 4 months. And then we spent some time on the beach.
Nice.
Libby, what's your favorite beverage?
Champagne.
All right.
Nice.
So piggyback off what Regan said about the trip, tell us your favorite moment of Patagonia.
Oh man, there were so many, but probably the time that he proposed. I didn't know that we had never talked about marriage. We had been dating for 11 months, and so marriage wasn't really on my mind. And when he proposed, I didn't believe him, and so it took about 3 full minutes for him to convince me that he was serious, because I didn't want to say yes and then have him say, just kidding. You know, like,
got you good.
Like guys would do. And so, yeah, I had to be sure that he was serious before I said yes.
It was a good moment.
I was going to say, Regan, that's pretty impressive. I mean, Patagonia proposal, that's pretty unique.
It was very romantic.
Awesome. Yeah. It was great. It was right up. It was at Fitzroy going up over the pass, right?
Oh, probably. Yeah. That was 9 years ago.
Yeah, it was.
Who knows?
A lot of happened. Awesome. Lots happened. Yeah. But paint the picture. Tell us how the moment went.
So we had just got done with our first day of hiking, and it was a really hard hike, and I was exhausted and slightly miserable. I was maybe a little mad at him, and he...
It was a good hike. It was a long first one.
It was intense, for sure.
We were up at snow line, too.
But it was so beautiful. There were jagged peaks all around us, and he pulled me up on a rock and was standing behind me, and he said, "Do you know why this spot is so special?" And I said no, and he turned me around, and he was down on one knee, and he said, "This is where I ask you to marry me."
Wow.
So sweet.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
What a great lead into this show. So what's the favorite thing, Regan, you like to do when you're not building shipping container houses or being a firefighter?
Definitely have to say being in the mountains, either mountain biking, hiking, camping, climbing, really anything active in the mountains.
Libby?
I'm going to have to agree, minus the mountain biking. I love to hike. I like to camp. Yeah, just hanging out in the mountains.
Yeah, I love mountain biking as well. I think I'm just going to buy Sarah a bike, and then she's going to, because I know she would love it. It's just the fear of the mountain biking. They think we're going to go on these crazy cliffs, and but we don't have to always do the crazy cliffs. We like to do those, too.
Yeah.
We'll go out and do those on our own.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to jump right into it.
So I'm so excited to have Libby and Regan Foster here in the studio MBWD. And today, the begin with the end in mind is what we're going to be doing is talking about the most amazing structure that Regan and Libby have built out of 8 shipping containers.
Nine shipping containers.
Never. It's always one up. Every time I think I know enough about this, it's always more. And that's basically what I have getting to know Libby and Regan. Every time I think he's come up with something that I would just blows my mind, the next time I talk to him, it's just that much more. And so that's why we wanted to have this and talk the story about building a house out of shipping containers, that I think this is one of those trends that it's a lot harder than building a tiny house, because it's real easy to build one of those little tiny house on a trailer. This is a much bigger endeavor, but I think this is like that on steroids. And that's what people really want to hear and learn more about. So we supplied the windows and doors on this project, and Regan also has been an integral part of my company as far as building out the showroom. He built these really killer stairs, and he, as a hobby, runs Foster Design that just makes these amazing creations and has built a really cool side business as well as being a firefighter. So tell us about kind of what you do on a daily basis and where you're at currently with everything, Regan.
Well, so for a career, I am a firefighter for Aurora, and I've been doing that for about 2 years now. Love my crew. I'm on a truck right now, and every day is a great learning experience. And outside of work, we got our CO, a week ago? Was it a week?
Yeah, probably.
About a week ago. So we moved in about a week ago, and it's been absolutely phenomenal. Before the CO, I mean, it was every day after work, I was probably doing 7 days a week, 100 plus hours a week, working on this house, trying to get it done. It's been a crazy, crazy roller coaster, and I'm very excited that it's done, but it's been a rewarding year.
And what does Libby do for her day job?
I actually own a business where I teach people how to use essential oils for their health. So I basically teach people. Really fun.
Nice.
So and during the day, they're a firefighter and an entrepreneur with their healing oils stuff, right?
Yep.
And then they also run the shipping container house. And that's what Regan and I can really relate when we talk in Studio MVWD about the show home and all these extra hobbies or projects. We have such supporting wives, and that's why I really wanted to have Libby in here, is because that's really the only way it would work. I mean, because Regan and I think we can do everything, and we put our heads down and creative and go for it. the people that do that, you come out of it with this project that is just unbelievable. And so what we wanted to have this show about is to have people hear the story and get excited, because Libby and Regan are gracious enough to where they're opening up this house to have an open house at the Shipping Container House that's going to be held April 22nd to the 24th here in 2016, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're finalizing all those details, but today we wanted to kind of talk through some of the things and elements on how you did this and how the process works, because on the Art of Construction side, this is global and timeless, and there'll be show notes to go see the pictures. But not everybody from all over the world can come physically see it at the tour. But hopefully the local people hear this show and want to come out and support that. Talk through about one of the other big reasons why we're doing this show is that they've built this amazing structure. And where did you move from? It's a smaller house, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we moved from a house about, what, two blocks away?
Yep.
The plot of land that we bought is across a street from a huge park that we'd always walk to. And we loved the plot of land. It was half acre in Denver, which it's really hard to find that big a plot of land in Denver. And it's up on a huge hill, so there's phenomenal views of downtown. And we got an opportunity to build a house, and I actually knocked on the door of the house that was there before and asked if they wanted to sell. And in a matter of a couple months, we bought the house, and that was about a year and a half ago.
So how big is the Shipping Container House?
It's 4,000 square feet.
Wow.
Seven bedroom.
So it's just you two in 4,000 square feet.
No. We wanted a place to live with other people and to be able to live with family, with Libby's mom. And then also we have another couple living with us, so we kind of wanted to join in that intentional living and sharing life with other people.
Nice.
So there's five people that live there. One of the big reasons for this open house is that you built this bigger house to have a family, and we've, you know, personal friends with Regan and Libby outside of work, and it come to find out being able to have their own kids was not in the cards. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting in the showroom with actually Regan's parents, and Regan's mom said, you know, do you think it'd be a good idea to have an open house and then support? They want to adopt a child, but they've put all their blood, sweat, and tears and all their finances into building this Shipping Container House. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the story. That's where it all came together. And she goes, well, I've kind of started that. And she emailed me this kind of little paragraph about that. And I was like, oh, I am all in on that. And here we are a few months later as far as saying, so the whole goal of this is to give and you will get. And that's really the bottom line with Regan and Libby. They're such giving people that now our call to action is to go tour and give donations to build the funds for them to be able to adopt and have a family that way. Is that correct?
Yes, we put all our blood, sweat, and tears and money into this house. But more than that, we really felt like adopting a child is expensive. No matter where you adopt from, we're adopting domestically. So from the U.S., it's still expensive. And we really felt like we wanted to invite our community into that experience with us. And so that means asking people to open their checkbooks. And it's been amazing. We've been fundraising for a few months now, and people are so supportive and so kind. And it really opens us up to learning about other people's stories. So many people experience infertility, and it's such a lonely process because nobody talks about it. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many people that we don't know donate to us and say, we went through this too. And, you know, we're so excited for you. And that's been so cool to see our broader community just come around and support us.
Well yep. said. And when you don't know until you go through that, and people ask questions and say yep. stuff that haven't been through processes. You know, we have our daughter Eva, and it was a long process of a lot of issues to get to Eva. We were looking into the adoptions and those kinds of things too. But after you've been through that process, it just hits you blindsided, because it's like there isn't a lot of people that talk about that until you've been through it. And then once you, and it's, knowing Regan, it's really hard to open up and say, hey, let's go fund me on this, because that's mm-hmm. not the personality who Regan is. Right. And I know you guys have had a lot of conversations about that. But once you do that and you talk about it, it's like this, I think it's a load off your shoulders to say, I'm doing the right thing, because it's hard to go through all that stuff, right?
Correct. Yeah.
We've set the stage. They've built the house. If you build it, they will come. And that's what's going to happen April 22nd through the 24th. And so now I want to go into kind of, I want to walk through the house and talk the story of, you know, why you did this rusty metal siding and why you put windows in backwards and why you had a big courtyard and how you stacked the shipping containers. Tell us the process, Regan, and what you went through with it.
Like I said earlier, we really wanted to live intentionally with other people. So the house was kind of designed to have this big open living space that people can come hang out and but yet also have their space of living, so their private, like their bedrooms away from that main kind of courtyard. So that was kind of the main design around it. So we built this big open, like 25-foot tall ceilings and concrete floor, so it's just indestructible. And then we built kind of out from there. So that was kind of, that's like the heart of the house, is that community room, that the place that we hope to share with other people and have amazing meals and hopefully have several kids. And we'll see how this goes. But
we'll start with one.
Yeah, we'll start with one. Yeah, I'm just excited to see multiple generations, you know, with my mother-in-law and then us and then kids. And the couple that's living with us has a
five-month-old.
So talk a little bit about why shipping containers. I mean, certainly the lifestyle, it makes sense. You want to have a centralized place with living areas and functioning areas for people's privacy to kind of come off of that. But where did the idea of shipping containers come from? And then how did that work through from your original idea or thought process to how it actually unfolded during construction and that kind of thing?
Same with my furniture. I'm always trying to push the boundaries of creativity. And when we decided we wanted to build a house, it was kind of, I've heard of these shipping containers and building houses out of them. And it was something I wanted to try and kind of got some building blocks together and started creating a type of design.
And I have to premise this by saying Regan is just an amazing welder and fabricator, because watching the process through Facebook and all that kind of stuff, this is not for the faint of heart, because it's actually a lot more work than just building a wall, because there was some conventional framing done within the shipping containers. Yeah. And you can build a stick frame wall, and then you don't have to deal with all of the other stuff as far
metal,
as insulation and all that stuff. But when you have the fabrication and the artist, and that having you on the Art of Construction, the true artist that Regan is, I mean, his metal artwork is just unbelievable. And to take that on a grand scale was like he went from doing, you know, tables and overhangs and stairs to 9 shipping containers out of 4,000 square foot. Is like, wow, it just blows my mind still when I think about it. Like, how far you've come as far as saying, I'm going to, you know, he did container countertops in my kitchen out of copper. And he's like, I'm just going to try. I've been studying and trying these different chemicals. I was like, rock and roll, man. And he covered with different chemicals to cover the seams and stuff. And it's like, people walk in my house and they're just like, that's all they comment. That's all. It's the conversation. That's something that's so unique and different. And that's what Regan creates in his projects. And this is a whole house of that kind of stuff. It's just amazing. Tell us how you laid out the kind of first floor, second floor, how you took 9 shipping containers and how did you stack those?
We basically have a cluster of 4 that has a 24-foot gap between them. So there's 2 on the first floor and then 2 on the top floor. And then there's that gap between those. So there's that cluster. There's between those 2 clusters is 8 containers, and then there's 1 shipping container that spans across that gap. And in between that is that living room, and it's concrete floors, and there's essentially no containers in that main living area.
So I think that was such a creative way to take, you know, because shipping containers are one size, and and how you built that. And so the front of it, or the front door, is a conventional wall full of glass that overlooks the park.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back where that shipping container, which kind of became kind of a catwalk, below that is a big moving wall of glass, correct?
Correct. Yep.
So 8 shipping containers kind of in these clusters on each end with this open space created by traditional and blending traditional walls into those shipping containers. And you just cut holes and made them where you can channel through all those clusters of containers, right?
It created a whole new set of problems dealing with everything steel. It's not easy to just, you know, cut out joists here. Everything was way more difficult, but we got it done.
So how did, what did you do on the outside of the shipping containers?
We just left it the siding of the shipping container. So it looks like shipping containers from the outside. And then
however they came, natural.
Correct. Well, we sandblasted all the original paint off and then we painted them.
So they do have some uniformity, because when we go way back to the beginning, I look and I see Libby in my mind with in front of all of this shipping container courtyard, which I honestly didn't even know they had a thing like that here in Denver. That thing was unbelievable.
Yeah,
how many
really
shipping
cool.
containers. And I know that a lot of conversation that you guys went through is like the cool, like different stuff on each container and different colors is like, should we leave them their own or should we blend it into? And there's a fine line between kick ass and cool or gaudy.
Mm-hmm.
How to blend that, right? Yeah. I know you went through a lot of design on that.
Yeah, we've even talked about potentially putting some of the numbers that were on the original container back on to kind of give it that, you know, unique.
Yeah, I was heartbroken to lose all of that stuff when we sandblasted the containers, because I think that's what made them unique.
Yeah.
They each container's assigned their own number for shipping, and I love that. And so we've talked about putting those numbers back on.
And all the doors have a ID card, and it has like all like when it was built and what materials it was made out of. And so we still have all those doors and those ID cards, and we actually, our front door is a huge shipping, like it was one of the doors that came off the shipping container, and we just fabricated it to be our front door.
So that has the ID card still on it.
Yeah.
Our listening audience is a combination of architects. So you've got the creative side typically there, and then you got the builder who's practical. You had to wear all those hats. So, and then part of the building process is you obviously have to go into the municipality and say, here's what I'm planning to do, get it approved. So I want to, if you could just talk a little bit about what that first reaction was when you walked into the building department and said, here's what I plan to do with these shipping containers.
Well, you know, I wore a lot of different hats, but I also had a lot of help from other people. I mean, I think great things that are accomplished come from a group of creative, great people pulling in all their different creative thoughts. And I had a lot of help from, you know, good friends and other contractors that I've known over the years. And I would say the beginning of the process came from my architect. He did a phenomenal job of pointing me out in the right direction on, you know, this is the first house I've ever built, first house I've ever GC'd. So he helped me out with kind of going down that whole process.
And so the architect was the driver to get you into an approved set of plans that you could build off of.
Yeah, I kind of had my vision drawn down on a piece of paper, and I took it to him, and we bounced ideas back and forth. He had a lot of phenomenal ideas for me and got this finished product. He did it up on CAD, and then we took all those into the city.
Let's talk about that, because this show is specifically designed for contractors and architects to grow their business. And you and I, way at the beginning, had multiple conversations as far as, because I was doing the show home in conjunction and kind of the similar time as you were doing this, and we're saying, who and how, why do we hire this architect versus another architect for this project? So what was the name of the architect you hired, and what were some reasons? Because I know you interviewed multiple architects, and that was a challenging process for anybody that's trying to do what you're doing, how long it takes, right? Because you're always like, okay, we got the land, now I want to build this thing. And it's just like, I know there were some speed bumps, so maybe architects listening, what were some things you'd say about that?
Yeah, so his name's Joe Simmons with Blue Sky Architecture. I interviewed 6 architects, and one of my biggest things that I needed from an architect was his excitement to build this house. I knew that there were going to be difficult parts in it, and I wanted someone who was excited and creative enough to overcome some of those speed bumps. So he was excited to do it, and, you know, anxious to come up with something really creative.
And so that's the part we're always talking about, be really good at a few things instead of trying to be everything to everybody. And I use that parallel as like, if you want to be the best architect for shipping containers, now there's not a lot of houses being built out of shipping containers, but I like how you said the word being creative to push the boundaries. So, and there's not all architects want to do that, because it's a different process than building a traditional house. So I think you nailed it, is to understand what you wanted, what you needed as the general contractor going into territories that, back to the beginning, is you know how to build stairs and you know how to build furniture and you know how all those intricate details work standing alone, but putting them all together into one project that gets you through the building process and gets you a CO, that's a scary thing going into that. So you needed someone that was really your partner that got your back and wanted to push the envelope.
Yes, he helped. I mean, I feel like for me, one of the biggest stressors for me is going up against the unknown, doing something I've never done before. And I don't think I could have done it without my architect or any of the other great contractors that helped me out.
And speaking from being the window supplier on this job, he made countless different details, because when we're saying how you're marrying new walls to shipping containers and how you're going to cut out the shipping containers and what bucks you're going to, you know, how you're going to make the windows work in that, he did a great job of putting those corner details together. But then you also collaborated by getting your framer and window installer and your supplier and all of us together to say, ooh, as the supplier, I think you're going to run into problems here, or as the installer, and get us to all say, yeah, let's all put our stamp on approval on something that we've never done before.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a challenge. There was a lot of stressful days going into this.
So going into the next phase, obviously, once you got the architect on board and you saw that vision and you get the plans completed, then the next obvious question to those listening is, where do you go get all these shipping containers, and how do you organize that in a way that matches what you're trying to achieve?
Well, it's funny. A lot of people ask me this, you know, where did you get these containers? And there are shipping container yards everywhere in Denver, and people just don't see them. And it's something that once you have an eye for it, you all of a sudden start seeing it everywhere. And, you know, you drive up a 76 or I-70 going out east, and there's a lot of shipping container yards.
And where you bought your, and it's Matt, how many shipping containers do you think were there? Seeing the picture.
Oh, many.
Yeah, thousands upon thousands.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, and they're stacked like 10, 20 high in some spots too. These things are, I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's like a playground for sure.
So here's a naive or a rookie question. How do you, as a shipping container consumer, buyer, whatever you want to call yourselves at that point, how do you pick them out? I mean, you're looking at thousands and thousands of containers. Are they all the same, or are you looking for a certain aspect to it, a certain look or certain features? I mean,
I think we kind of lucked out because, firstly, we had a friend who was building his office out of shipping containers. And so we used him a lot in the beginning to kind of walk us through what do we do from here? And then the last shipping container yard that we went to, we went into the office and they handed us a phone number of somebody who owned a bunch of shipping containers, and they were exactly what we needed. And so we ended up buying all of them from this woman who she didn't even live in Colorado.
Down in Florida.
Yeah.
Most shipping container yards don't own all the containers. It's more companies from all over the world own their set of containers, and then they rent out a space at these yards.
Because they don't ship them back. They ship them here full, and then
for the most part, they just kind of get shipped around the country. But usually they don't ever go back to China.
Gotcha.
So I feel like we lucked out because we had help along the way. And Regan might feel differently, but I never felt lost. We just had really great people kind of walking alongside us. And it was almost chance that we had these people.
The company that we bought from, they had 24 of their own containers at this yard. And so I called ahead of time and I asked if I could get lift operator a couple hours of his time. And we went and we picked up every single one and looked around all the outside, the underneath, and went inside, and we just picked out the 9 best containers that they had. So it's
cool.
That's kind of mostly all the dents and holes, and, you know, made sure that we got kind of the nicest ones.
Gotcha.
They bring them and they crane them on site. How did it work to get them positioned?
So we had a guy who had a trailer that he hauled behind his truck. He delivered them to the yard, and then we had them just spaced out on our property, and we fabricated them for the next couple of months. And then once they were all ready, we had all the windows cut out, the foundation poured. We rented a huge crane. It was about $900 an hour to rent it. So we were trying to go as fast as we possibly could, but we got this crane and lifted them up onto the foundation and welded them in place.
It was probably a shaky day there.
Oh, it was so much fun though. I mean, just seeing these huge containers way up in the air, and we did it in two different days, and we usually had a pretty good crowd and people driving by just stopping, taking pictures. It was pretty fun.
Yeah. So what does it mean getting them ready? Just cutting them enough to where they can sit on top of each other? How they position? How does getting them ready. What's that?
I researched the floors were pressure treated in China, and there's not a whole lot of regulations. So I read about that the floors can be toxic. And so we pulled out all the floors. So beforehand, we pulled out the floors. We sandblasted them, cut the doors off, cut windows out, welded up all the window frames. So we kind of did all that prep work before because we didn't want to be welding up high when, you know, on a second story.
Tell us about welding the window frames, how the end of the window ended up working. So you cut out a hole in the shipping container, then mm-hmm. what?
And then we got tube steel and we welded up just a frame that the window could fit inside. And then we just fastened the window to that steel frame.
Cool. And they went with the Anderson 100 series that were the black outside. So it really fit I would call it a modern. It's hard to, mm-hmm. I don't see how you do another design of the modern other than covering up a lot of the shipping container. If you're going to leave that.
A steel. Yeah. Look. It's very modern industrial. A lot of big I-beams and steel concrete.
The great courtyard. How tall did you say it is in the center?
The ceilings are 25-foot tall ceilings, and then there's open web, a steel and wood joist that for the roof. They're all exposed on the inside.
And then how did you ventilate or glass? What did you put in that courtyard?
So the south wall is all glass, and we get a lot of our heat rarely runs in so far that we've lived there. I mean, it gets in mid to upper 70s in the daytime. Up top, we built this like 5-foot wall going all the way around on top of the container so we could have glass all the way around. And up top, we have two windows that are on light switches. They have electric motors that when you turn them on, the windows open up. So we can get kind of that natural ventilation of cold air sucking in from down below and then the hot releasing out the top.
Yeah, and I know that was a lot of Saturdays in the window shop going through at Mountain mm-hmm. Window and Door to say, and the window thing can, the price can really change. But I think that was a well-done deal as far as putting a few dollars into those motorized windows to really manage this huge, clear, open space to suck air through that, you know, the doors at the bottom and out to the top. Are you happy that you went with those motorized Anderson E-Series windows?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think it'll work great in the summertime, you know.
Wait,
when
let me
need...
get this straight. You didn't want to climb up on a 25-foot ladder to crank the windows open. I don't know. No, most of our customers seem to want to do that. I don't know. You guys must be kind of...
Or get a big
too
pole
much hiking, I guess.
Weird.
Too much hiking.
Yeah, hiking, yeah. You just want to hike the mountains.
So the next thing I want to ask you about is stairs. Like, Regan is really becoming known as an fabricator of stairs. These stairs in our showroom are these, you know, steel I-beam with... He took an old glue lamb and mixing metal with wood... Tell us about how you did the stairs, because it kind of goes up in a catwalk kind of all around this courtyard as mm-hmm. well. So you can kind of be up there looking down on all the social space from the kind of your separate spaces around the main great room, correct?
Yeah, so the stairs, it's kind of an L. There's a first landing that's probably 4 feet tall, and there's, I think, 4 steps going up to it. And all of that is made out of PSL. It's like a laminated stranded board. It's kind of like a glue lamb. And I made it to look like it's just a solid block of this glue lamb. And then as you transition, it goes up these stairs.
How it just looks like you had to do something to hold that up.
Yeah. So I actually framed a box underneath it, because if I had used the glue lamb, it would have cost, I don't know, probably 10 grand in just material. So I kind of framed it up and then glued and screwed all this glue lamb around this landing to make it look like just a solid block.
And on the steps, though, they're floating steps, right?
Yep. So once you go off the landing, then there's, I think, 9 steps getting up to the catwalk, and there's no stringers. So it looks like the steps are floating. And the handrail it's doing the support to be able to hold up the each tread, each step.
And you also put steel that those slide over, right? That are
correct.
Bolted to the wall. So you have great structure.
Correct. Yep.
And you're using your welding skills, but then you blending the wood that
in with
over,
the steel.
Over that. Yeah. It's got to come see these.
it's pretty structural too. I mean, it doesn't budge at all. It's pretty strong. So
yeah.
Pretty happy about that.
So in the gray room, what are some statement pieces you put in there? Maybe a fan, a what you did on the floors. Talk to us some stuff that you did that would be unique or different.
So in our living room, we have a large fan. It comes from a company called Big Ass Fans, which is a
best.
pretty sweet name. And it's just a large industrial looking fan. It's one of my favorite features in the living room.
Yeah, it's intense. When it gets turned on,
blows you away.
I get worried that the house is going to take off. But it's super quiet and it's awesome.
Yeah, how big is it?
It's 8 foot.
Nice.
I was trying to get the 10 foot one, but they wouldn't sell it to me because they said that the space was too small. But it what it really is it's a propeller that the roof launches off.
Yeah, I was just going
to say, like a spaceship.
For people that aren't familiar, those are like an airplane.
Yeah. So that's a really good, I think about 2 years ago, I have a buddy who trims and cuts down trees, and he took down this probably 3 foot wide catalpa tree, and he called me, and I bought this mill that it's an adapter onto a chainsaw. And so I bought this mill, and it took us a week to mill this tree. I think each cut took about 2 hours. I mean, it was not a fast process, but we milled all this wood, and I have these 2-inch thick slabs of catalpa, and they're all my steps on the catwalk. So for me, I have a lot of pride in that I milled this wood and then was able to put it in my house. And it's just a feature that I'm very proud of.
And it's cool because you can see it from the underside. So it's really beautiful wood.
Yeah, because usually the under part of stairs are not that attractive. So that's kind of nice to have something like that.
And you can see some of the chainsaw marks. And then also there's a couple pieces that someone shot the tree. So there's a couple bullet holes. And the the bullet is in it. Like you can see the lead. And I mean, it's pretty cool.
You learned something about your house today, Libby.
Yeah, I love that.
I never showed you that?
No.
Oh.
I'm excited to go home now.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it April 22nd through the 24th.
Yeah.
So I saw a picture of you sanding plywood on the floor. What was that all about, Libby?
We did plywood floors for all the bedrooms. So they're plywood sheets, and Regan just screwed them in, I guess. I don't really know this part of the process, but then he had me come in and we distressed them. So we used large chain and a hammer and some other tools that I don't know the names of. And this
just,
isn't really my part.
Wood. That's all that matters.
Yeah, he just told me to take this and hit the wood. So we distressed it and then we stained it together and then sanded it and stained it again.
Sealed it. Yeah, with some poly.
It was a long, long process, but it was one of the things that I could help with because I'm not super construction minded. So it was really fun to help him and get my hands dirty.
So your finished floor in the bedrooms is 4x8 sheets of plywood.
Yeah, it's cabinet grade plywood that we bought from Home Depot, and it came out to about $1 a square foot. So pretty cheap, and I feel like durable because we've already beat them up. Yeah, they're pretty cool. We sanded it down to where some of the like different coloring wood through the plywood is coming out, so it's pretty unique.
So I hear that, and that's where you get to a point where you're like, I've spent the budgets out, and I got to get creative, right?
Yep.
And I'm always talking to people about there's certain things that you got to get creative, but you also don't want to cut the budget and selfishly mount your window and door. I think windows and doors are one of those things that those aren't things you want to be replacing or changing or possibly cutting corners. But you take it to the next level is to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but probably when you got to the flooring and some of the finishes, it was kind of like I have to go buy a pre-finished planked killer flooring was probably not in the budget. So you're like, how do I get floors in my house so I can move into the house without being out of budget? Am I out of line by saying that?
No, that's exactly what it was. I mean, we decided to put a lot of cool features that cost a little bit more in some areas and then save in other areas. And the floor was one of those that we saved money. But I still think it looks incredible.
Yeah, it turned out so nice.
But that's what's so cool about a guy like Regan that can take, well, here's your budget, figure it out. Talk about a cool way to figure it out. Like, I don't know that's what a lot of people put as their underlayment, but you have the creativity to understand how to take and say, I'm going to bring out some of the characters underneath that wood that a traditionalist would say that that's just underlayment. You can't use that as your floor. You know, you put OSB down and then you put another floor over it and you say, time out. I'm just going to make this plywood that's $12 a sheet work or whatever. That's really cool.
Yeah, we had a lot of people coming in and ask us what we were going to do for flooring. And I'm like, you're looking at
after
it.
After the floors were put in.
Yeah. That's it, buddy.
That's it. Well, the other benefit of that, too, is the building process. I was a builder for a dozen years or so. And I tell you, it's a frustrating process. So it seems like free therapy there for Libby to be able to beat the daylights out of the floor.
That is true. Yep.
But then that's something you can always, the floor, you can now make furniture pieces or cover that flooring up. If I'm not saying you like it or don't like it, but that's one of those things that you can adjust over time because people are always coming in and I'm saying, begin with the end in mind. How much money do you have? How can we make this work? What's the timeline? How do you put all that together? And it all goes back to getting it right on paper. And like you said, you took the time to interview six different architects, sit down and say, how can you help get my vision on paper that can move this thing through? And I know that part was painful for you because you guys had the land and you were like, I want to move in now. And I said, I remember looking you in the eye and saying, you just got to go through this process, Regan. Yep. Slow down. It's going to be painful now, but it's going to pay off dividends later by getting the right team dialed in up front instead of just diving in, because you can only do so much yourself and you get to where you're just had it up to here. And then you got to have people that bail you out sometimes or something and help you get through that. And I commend you for doing that and taking the time. And that's what we're talking about on the show all the time, is to get it right on paper and take the time. I was thankful that you guys took the time to come in and meet with me about the windows and doors, not once, three, four, five times. But then there wasn't issues.
Yeah.
Because you guys knew what you wanted, and we worked through those details. And that's really important, because it's really hard if you don't work through those details and then you're pointing the finger saying this doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked out great. I can't even begin to tell you how stressed out it would give me. So much stress to have to continue to think about the same step of the process over and over. So, but it was key to, getting it done right the first time and not adding more stress later on when it didn't work.
I think our listeners would like to hear a little bit about this installing the windows backwards. Devin, you talked about it initially, so maybe you can provide a little bit more background on how that all worked out. What that means.
Yeah, I can shed some light on that as far as, so we went through tons of details as far as saying to use a nailing fin as AMA proper installation as far as wood bucks, but then he didn't want to have the wood, so how do you have metal and channel and cover and hide all that? The final plan, and when Regan and I looked at all the costs associated with buying materials and labor and how the critical path would work, it came down to the fact that we kind of did it like a retrofit application as far as making a steel buck that then the window would sit inside of there. And when we getting down to the end of ordering the windows, we're like, well, let's just get the nail fin with the windows. And just in case when they show up there, it may make sense to have the nail fin as a additional measure when you install those. And what they ended up doing is they took the nail fin and pushed it in from the inside and use the nail fin to screw from the inside to nail off that window, and then caulked it. So you're basically taking it from the outside as sealed like a retrofit application, but instead of going through the side of the window into the structure, now they were at a face nail, the screw from the inside, which was all going to get covered up. Is that correct? A fair explanation of how it ended up going?
Yeah, definitely. And we also did spray foam on the inside for insulation, and so that is a water sealer. So there were to ever be, the caulking from the outside were to ever fail, we have that spray foam as well to waterproof it.
How did you handle the operating units? Were those done the same way, or were those
all
done,
of them? All of them all done that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And then on the big door, you had a big moving glass wall, the door system that it was the zero threshold from the floors on the inside were concrete, just clear coated, right?
Mm-hmm.
To running right through that zero sill system. And those are, correct me if I'm wrong, it turned out really cool, but that's a stressful situation managing your foundation walls and us as the supplier and all the other trades to make that door be seamless.
Yeah.
But in the end, was it worth the effort?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
But there are many times where I organize you coming out and then Andrew and the concrete guy. And it was like, we all have to be here. We all have to be on the same page. We have to make this perfectly level. But it came out great.
Yeah, definitely. So Libby, what are some of your favorite things of the shipping container house?
I love my bathroom. That was one of the places where we decided to not cut costs. And it was really fun to sit down with the architect and have him look at me and say, what do you want? And just tell him exactly what I wanted and see it kind of happen. And yeah, our bathroom is just, it's beautiful. It's an adult bathroom for sure. You know, the house we came from before, 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom. And so now we have
7-bedroom, 5-bath.
Yeah, 5 bathrooms. It's just fun to have a bathroom attached to my room. It makes me feel like an adult. So
you've grown up. You've made it.
I finally grew up. So that's definitely a favorite. I love the sliding glass wall. I think it's going to be so fun in the summer to have parties and open that wall up, you know, have our house kind of feel like when you're inside, feel like you're outside. And I think that's really fun. And I don't know, there's so many pieces I love. I love our movie room. Regan did an amazing ceiling in our movie room, and I can't really explain it, but if you're in town, you should definitely come and look at it in April. It's just so cool, and it's going to be really comfortable to just hang out in and play with kiddos on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So a man's got to have a shop if you're going to build furniture on the side.
Of course.
So Regan, at his old place, I remember the first time I really got to know them, they invite us over for dinner, Regan made us venison that the deer that he went out and got, and their kitchen and his shop was this, it was small in the little garage, but I was like, this guy is on to big things. But you didn't have the space in that, and you really wanted to be able to have your shop open up. And talk through like how you built your shop with the metal panels and the dual garage doors. And I know you're proud of that baby.
Oh, that is my baby. I'll just sometimes just go outside and look at my shop and maybe pet it a little bit. Talk to her. She's my baby. Quick story about that. I think someone came over, I don't know, a couple days ago and asked how many car garage it is. And I said, 0.
And this is a massive structure.
It's a 0-car garage. It's a shop. We park outside. And Libby knows that too. She understands.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a 900 square foot garage, 14 foot tall ceilings, and we side it. It's wood frame, but we did just 10 foot by 4 foot sheets of steel for the siding. And we just let it rust. So on the outside, it's just a big rusted structure. I really wanted tall ceilings because my other garage, lifting 8-foot tall sheets of plywood, you couldn't maneuver very well. You'd hit everything on the ceiling and your garage door. So I wanted to be able to have a tall ceiling garage where, I mean, even if I wanted to remodel an RV or an Airstream or something, I could pull that into the garage and
the Regan think tank.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And another thing is I want to be able to share that space with other people too, have other people come and learn how to do what I do and just have that creative space for people to come and hang out, drink some beers and create.
So just to circle back and recap and make sure everyone understands, I think we've painted the picture where, are you intrigued to see this place?
Oh, no, absolutely. I have from the beginning, and I didn't really know that much about it. Just the fact that it is and was at the time in the process of hearing your stories as you were involved early on, that just a shipping container house in Denver, I was, you know, fascinated by that. But hearing the entire story and all the details, yes, absolutely, I want to see this.
Yeah, so at the company meeting, I'm, you know, giving out the dates, and, you know, Mountain View's really helped putting this thing on, and it's like, I'm so passionate about wanting everyone to see it, because it's like, I want everyone to see what Regan can do, and it's like, the Facebook only goes so far. Like, a picture is cool, but, like, walking through and seeing this place is a whole nother level of understanding and just being part of the whole deal. So I hope we've have painted the picture if you're interested in seeing this. As far as in April, we'll excited to give you the tour, right?
Correct. Yeah.
The final dates for this event are going to be April 22nd through the 24th. And again, this show is always global and timeless. So in the show notes, you'll see pictures and we'll have a video camera there and we'll make a, you know, video that our global listeners can circle back and at least watch this. And I could probably set up a tour if you want to come into town and show it off to you. But So April 22nd through the 24th, 2016, Friday from 4 to 8 is kind of going to be the big shebang where we're going to go knock the socks off and have a blast. And then Saturday from 12 to 4. And if none of those times were there, also kind enough to open it up Sunday from 12 to 2. So if you come, the ask for you is to come see and be part of the open up their house, but also bring your checkbooks and write a check or give some cash for the donation for them to adopt a child. And Regan wants to have the shop to give, and, you know, we want to help build the next generation of fosters and build this thing together and enjoy it. So thanks for coming in and telling us your story.
Yeah, thank you.
The last thing we're going to say is we always ask these questions. We're going to ask them a little bit differently here is what is the most unique thing on the shipping container house?
I would say the openness in the living room with the big glass door opening up and the kitchen being right there and a huge island, just the unique ability. The house is ready to party. It's all centered around partying.
Woohoo, there we go.
And so I think that that's a very unique part of the house.
Same question for you, Libby.
I would say the front door. I mean, it's nice. Made out of a shipping container door.
Yeah.
I would say that's pretty unique.
Yeah.
Another one I just thought of is the siding on the front of the house. The siding we did, cedar siding, but we burnt it. I started researching. There's this concept, Shousugiban, ancient Japanese. Shousugiban. It's an ancient Japanese tradition where they burn the wood to seal it. So it's like tiger striped, and it came out pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I did the same in my show. At about the same time, I did the same thing. I burnt all the wood on the courtyard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, what was the most challenging thing about the project?
Dealing with bad contractors. there are some phenomenal contractors out there, and there's some horrible ones. And it amazes me how little integrity some people have. And it's disheartening for sure. I mean, there's a great group of, you know, friends, family that helped us get through it. And here we are.
Libby?
I was going to say staying married.
Yeah.
But I'm only kind of kidding. I would agree with Regan 100%. It was spirit breaking to work with some people who just put us through the ringer. And like Regan said, we worked with some really, really wonderful people that made the experience really great. But it's those, you know, one or two bad seeds that can just break your spirit. And we had some rough weeks, months.
Years.
But again, like he said, we're on the other end. We're almost done with dealing with them. And so that feels good.
Yeah, and that's the goal of this show is, you know, we're always saying surround yourself around good people that have the same interest and people that you can trust.
Yeah.
And it can be an ugly world out there, but you don't let it get you down. You get through that, you turn the mic on, you talk through that, and build the art of construction together as a group. What's the biggest learning lesson from the project?
My architect had a saying that no is the first answer you get in getting a yes. There's a way. So that was a big thing, was just always pushing through. I think in order to get this funded, I probably went to 20 different banks. You know, they just kept telling me no until we figured out how to do it. And it's just continuing. If you have a dream, you don't stop until you get it done.
Well said.
Libby?
One of the things I learned was to be flexible, to not hold too tightly to anything. You know, there were a lot of times where I'd say, I really want this flooring, and it just was not in the budget. And so I had to learn to say, let's be flexible. Let's look at something else.
Kevin, any last words or questions?
No, I think that's pretty amazing to just hear the whole story from beginning to current, to see all of what you went through and how you really did accomplish an amazing feat. I think when you think of the complexities of that type of construction, surrounding yourself with the very few people out there that could provide help, boy, did you really work to get those people like your architect that were behind you and then stick to the plan to the finish. I mean, that's pretty commendable.
Well, thanks for coming into Studio MVWD and telling your story, and we can't wait to celebrate and see the house together.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Wow, what a great story on so many levels. I mean, when you think about it, we were here to talk about a couple of things, and we covered a lot of territory. Really interesting stuff.
It's kind of when we're having the conversation, it's like, where do you stop and start on something that's so massive? And I think he was living that day in, day out for years, putting this whole dream together from literally taking Legos to going to a shipping container yard, finding the right fit, and making it happen. But dang it, he did it. And I'm excited to be part of this and help put on this open house and help give back to, I mean, Libby and Regan are just such cool people. And I, you know, get out your checkbooks and come give to something that's so cool. And it, you know, we all understand we all have different layers, but if a whole bunch of people give a little bit, they're going to get a lot out of this. That it, this is something you got to come see.
Well, and that's the key thing, is anything counts. It's not like you have, it's not like a political thing where you have to have a minimum of X dollars to show up. I mean, it's anything that you can comfortably contribute would be welcomed. And it's just amazing to me when you listen to their story. I mean, boy, did they really put it together in a way that everybody can relate to. I mean, you know, like most people, you start with a genesis of an idea. And here they had an idea. They wanted to have this home that was communal for not only being able to raise kids, and then they, like many times in life, hit a roadblock, a speed bump. And so now they're looking to adopt. So there's all of these things. They've now built this great home for this community lifestyle that they want to achieve. And now they've got this one component that's not quite there yet, which is the ability to have kids. So they want to adopt, and they've got to go through that process. Since everything's been poured into this home, now this is another avenue that they can look to for support and help. So
yeah, and as you'll see in the show notes, all the details about the open house. But if you can't make it to the open house, we're going to be partnering with Mainstream Films and going to be videoing it and be making a video from this process as well. And on the show notes will also be the link for you to donate funds to their story. Will all be in the show notes. So we hope we can drive a lot of feedback and a lot of great synergy, and hopefully maybe the Art of Construction can help them adopt two kids instead of one. Because I know Regan, they built this big house, and now they got to make it all work. So hopefully we can be a small part on such a cool story.
And from the standpoint of what we're usually here for on a daily basis is, you know, to help contractors and architects grow their business. Boy, is there a lot of great information in there in terms of the overall process and creativity, and then taking that creativity and making sure that you've got a great plan that you can, you know, work through to get to the finish line, if you will. And for all the architects and contractors listening out there, there's a lot to learn from their story, from the standpoint of the building process as well.
And at the end, it's fun to have this conversation. And like I said at the beginning, is like this has been long awaiting to have this conversation with them, because there were times when you're in the trenches, and I was doing my show home at the same time Regan was doing this show home that was also his private residence. And there were times we're just like, what are we doing? Why did we take all this on? But then you come out on the other side, and it's just so rewarding. And, you know, we can definitely relate. And I'm just so proud of them. So proud of Regan and Libby for just putting their head down and just fighting through. And like he said, just keep going until you find a way. And there, when you hear no, you're just hearing no from that particular situation. But if you want to get it done, if there's a will, there's a way, like he said.
Well, and the thing that we're always talking about is collaboration. And listen to all the collaborating they did. I mean, they not only collaborated together from the genesis, from the starting point, but then they interviewed architects and they settled on the person that was going to be able to collaborate with them to see their vision through. And then each step of the way with each of the subcontractors, they did the same thing. And you experienced that with Mountain View Window and Door. And it just is amazing when you think about, they couldn't have picked a more difficult type of a project to get from beginning to end, do you think?
Well, when no one else has done it, it's your blazing trails. And when you're blazing trails, those are the moments and the times that make you different. And there's a lot of people that make furniture and do stairs and do all that stuff, but there's not a lot of Regan Fosters out there. And that's what this journey of him and I have been collaborating and talking through each other is like, you know, you add a lot of value by just getting in, and you learn by doing. And that's what's so fun to come and reflect in the Art of Construction and talk through that in Studio MBDB, and sitting there listening to them talking, coming out of it, versus knowing them through this whole process of building this house.
And the other important thing we always talk about with respect to collaboration is collaborating early and often. And whether the project that you're thinking of or you're working on is as complex as, you know, container home. It doesn't really have to be that complex, but the reality is there are a lot of complexities in all types of construction. That level of interaction and being able to cooperate and work together is important. So that's something I think for our listeners to think about that. You know, we always invite our customers, whether they be the ultimate end user, the architect, and the builder, to get with us early. Let's exchange ideas. We can get things completed in a lot quicker fashion to the point that you're trying to achieve a particular objective in a much, much better way.
Well, thanks for telling your story and letting us be part of your journey here on the Art of Construction. We're so proud and honored to be part of Foster Design and Regan and Libby's largest shipping container house here in Denver, Colorado.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.